producers. Featuring the most respected international talent in the world of audio production and voiceover. Radio, TV, film, and online. In-depth interviews, industry insights, putting you on the inside. This is the Producers Podcast with Ryan Dream.
That's Brian Cooney. Yay. Thanks. I don't think I've thanked Brian for the intro in a little while. So, Brian Cooney, thank you. You're awesome. I'm a huge fan of his work, his style, all of that. Anyway, hey, welcome to it. Another podcast. Hi, I am Ryan. What are we at? Episode 78. I had to close down a lot of stuff, so I can't actually look it up. Well, you'll see it. It's sort of labeled in the name and whatnot. Thank you so much for listening. As always, I do appreciate you doing the downloads or the streaming or however it is you consume this podcast. Quick tech note. I had my first H/W buffer size error in like a year, and I had five of them in a row. I think I have some work to do on my machine because I've done gone and increased it all the way. So, yeah, fun, right? So I'll make this quick. David Lee is the guest. You will have no problem distinguishing between the two voices you will hear in this interview. David Lee, one of the most signature sounding voices out there. You know, I don't even need to intro him. You'll hear him and go, oh, yep, I know that guy. I've heard him from this or I've heard him from that. Probably motorsports, maybe Westwood One Sports. That would be my direct connection with him. Via my work with Westwood One and David Lee, obviously the signature voice of all of Westwood One's sports brands. Look forward to getting your feedback on this one, but I think you're going to really enjoy it. And, you know, we did about 30 minutes. We kept it, you know, short and sweet because, well, the dude is working. It's very tough to carve out more than that much time with him. So I probably was over thankful in the interview, but I will say it again. I'm very appreciative of his time and the time that he gave me for this interview. That'll be coming up here in moments. I do have at least one, I'll say two. I can say two interviews that I can promote now because one of them is already in the can. In fact, just earlier today, I spoke with Tom Cross and Adam Burgess, the brains, the creative minds behind Contraband Media in the UK, and also Imaging Blueprint, a superb CHR imaging service that is available worldwide now. Great interview. Like I've mentioned many times now in the last year or two, I'm trying to put together sort of bigger event size interviews and having those two guys together talk about the way they collaborate, running a business, still being creative, moving from in the radio station to out of the radio station and how all that works. That'll be a good interview for you, and that will be coming up next in 2 or 3 weeks-ish. And then Mitch Faulkner reached out to Mitch, and he's been gracious enough to give me some of his time. We'll talk to him on a podcast coming up in the next month or two, somewhere in that range. So we got plenty to get to now. I actually have official guests that are locked and loaded and or already recorded. Happy to be able to promote things. Anyway, that'll be enough for the intro. I'll come back and just check in real fast in the outro. But otherwise, here it is. The one, the only, David Lee.
If it's Monday Night Football, it's on Westwood One. The NFC's best go head-to-head.
They've got a lot of talented players.
Where legends live.
Bradshaw's back to throw.
The following is a presentation of Westwood One Sports. And your new rock station. 1031, the place. A world without fear. Anything is possible. Fight the fear. Face the danger.
Race motocross.
Our ideal is innovation. 5 all-new models over the next 15 months.
McDonald's presents the Advanced Auto Parts Monster Jam Summer Heat. Spider-Man, Travis Pastrana's Nitro Circus, Advanced Auto Parts Grinder, Monster Money, Grave Digger.
Welcome to Gotham. His romantic exploits are legendary. Now, How I Met Your Mother's Barney will attempt the ultimate score. A Victoria's Secret model. CBS Tonight.
And welcome to it. Another great interview. Somebody I've been wanting to talk to for a little while. Finally had the opportunity to reach out to him. And just so gracious with his time. I would say as far as everybody I've interviewed, David, you might be as recognizable and possibly everybody listening can say, oh yeah, I've heard that guy at least once, if not many times. David Lee, over at davidleeproductions.com, if you want to jump right on his website right now and start checking out some of the stuff he has up there. Thank you, David, so much for joining me on the show. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Ryan.
You know, the first question I wanted to ask was just about your unique sound. It's obviously, you know, you have what is would be considered a trademark sound. At what point in your career, and it might have been from day one, did you sort of realize, oh, wait a minute now, I got this sound here that even if people try and emulate it, they're not able to do it. When did that happen for you?
Well, it's probably something that kind of developed through the years. I remember the first time that I thought I might have, you know, some kind of future in this industry was when I was in high school at the high school radio station. I went to the same school as Kevin Harlan, who you may know as a play-by-play yeah. announcer for the NFL and many other different things. But I was just a regular radio announcer on that station. And they specifically went to the library where I was during a study hall or something. They found me so that I could do the football intro for the high school sports events. That's kind of what I'm sure I sounded a lot different back then, but that's kind of where it started. And then while I was doing radio, probably in the mid-80s, one of the consultants heard me and recommended me to some of the smaller stations for station imaging. You know, doing the liners and that sort of thing.
Sure.
So that's kind of where my career started. I was more into the radio aspect of it, not really the voiceover at all. I just kind of fell into it.
I did see that on Twitter. Actually, your handle at David Lee Imaging, right? That's the Twitter, at David Lee Imaging?
Yep. I'm now on Twitter. Just signed up like a month ago, so I'm just getting started with that.
I know. I saw that. We were following each other now, and I saw all the Wisconsin stuff. I won't even, let's not waste our time with the Wisconsin stuff. I'll just say that we are recording this. I'm not sure when this will get released. We're recording this the day after the championship game. So my condolences, and can we just say we'll move on?
Absolutely. It's official hangover day in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. In high school, your high school station must have had, I mean, even though you probably sounded different and all, must have had the grandest, just the simply the best imaged sports open of all the high schools in the land. Can we say that?
I don't know about that, but I like I said, I have no idea. I probably laugh my ass off if I heard it today, but it's kind of where
does a tape exist? Does a tape exist of
no,
that at
it
all,
doesn't, but it's funny that, you know, now I'm doing the intros for Westwood One with Kevin Harlan as
sure.
the main announcer, the main play-by-play guy. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, he was a year ahead of me, but our paths did cross for 1 year on that radio station. And I think it was actually the year after he left that I was the official guy that did all the intros and outros.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to your massive work with the Westwood One sports department all over the place. It is ironic, though. Did any part of you becoming the signature voice of these biggest of the sports brands have anything to do with the fact that you knew Kevin way back when? Or is this one of those serendipitous things in life that happens that, you know, everything's a big circle and it's a very small world?
The second thing that you said, definitely, because Kevin wasn't even there when I started. It was the main guys were Marv Albert and Boomer Esiason. And Boomer's still there, but Marv is no longer the head guy now. It's Kevin. But yeah, it was probably about 2001 or 2002. And the reason I got that gig was all because of Howard Deneroff, who was the producer, heard my yep. voice on the Redskins radio network where I was imaging a station that was a flagship station for the Redskins. And that is where it all started, because he heard me and thought I would be a good fit for Westwood One. And that was quite a while ago, almost 15 years ago, I think.
Yeah, for anyone that ever has a chance to meet Howie, Howard Deneroff, one of the coolest guys I've met in the industry, probably one of the great ones to work with. Is that the way you see it?
Oh, yeah, he is just a great guy to work with. And, you know, it's gotten to the point now where they don't even direct me. I just
do them on my own and send them. And every now and then I'll screw up a pronunciation or something. That's why I don't even have an ISDN in my house anymore, because I know the thing was collecting dust. But we used to do all this. We used to do all the sessions on that the first 5 or 6 years.
Tell me, of all the different kinds of work you do, what is your favorite? What are you most comfortable doing?
I would have to say radio imaging, because it's what I love, because I'm more into, if I had my way and I could make a lot of money doing it, I would go back and, you know, be an on-air personality.
You still have that bug in you. You still want to do that.
It seemed like I didn't have it for a while, but then whenever I go listen to old air checks from the 60s and 70s and 80s, I get the bug again. But, you know, times have changed, and that sort of radio really isn't in vogue anymore, unfortunately. But, you know, it still would be fun to get back into it, and I think about it a lot.
Dream job today, then. Put aside the voice work for a minute. Dream job. You know, any station in America, any time slot, where would you be on the air right now, assuming you're going to make all the money in the world?
Oh, boy. That's a tough question. I guess nowadays I'd probably have to go on some sort of oldie station, you know, since my era was the 70s, my favorite era. But I don't know what if there's really a format out there that's would be to my liking. Nothing really comes to my mind now. If you're talking about the old days.
Sure, the old days then. How about any era, any station, any time?
Maybe CKLW out of Windsor, Detroit. That was a pretty damn cool station. They played a lot of Motown, a lot of funk, and it was just perfection. And their sound quality was amazing for an AM station back in the 70s. What a powerhouse. Third most listened to radio station in the country. And then also WCFL and WLS out of Chicago. I grew up with those, Larry Lujack and the boys.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Yeah. So did you grow up in or near Chicago? Is that what I've just learned?
Green Bay.
You grew up in Green Bay.
The frozen tundra of Green Bay.
And have you ever left the area up there to maybe because the work you needed to pursue different kinds of work? Or were you able to sort of dive in and stay where you're at and be successful right up there in the Great White North?
No, I was at WRIF, The Riff, in Detroit. I was also in Milwaukee, WQFM. Started off in the Appleton Green Bay market at WAPL and WKAU. So, I've been pretty much in Wisconsin most of my career, though.
And how long has it been since you've made the complete, I assume you've made the complete transition, 100% of your income is coming from voice work. How long has that been?
That started in 1995.
What precipitated your move? You know, it's a question that comes up often. You know, you've got people that are working in radio in some capacity. They start doing some voice work. Maybe they're producing stations. And eventually they have that crossroads where, all right, do I leave the security, yet maybe the chains of the in-house brick and mortar building radio station? You know, what precipitated your move, or was it a gradual process to go complete into the voiceover world?
For me, it was I landed a motorsports client that puts on all the Supercross, the monster trucks, all that sort of stuff. That came about 1993 and allowed me to buy my own equipment. So I was kind of working on the side on the weekends and at nights and putting in long hours, trying to get the cash to build my own studio. And then when I finally got to the point where I could do it, December, I think, of 1995.
And what was it kind of like pulling off a Band-Aid? Did you flip a switch?
It was like flipping a switch. I mean, I just all of a sudden one day, you know, the equipment came and maybe a week or two playing around with it, and then boom, I made the transition, put in my 2-week notice and made the transition.
You know, now that you've been very successful, obviously, and like I mentioned, you know, one of the extremely signature voices that anybody can pick out and go, oh, yeah, I've heard that guy. Are there any times, do you have any regrets? I mean, you've already said you still have a love for radio, but was there any time when you went, ooh, I don't know, I look back and go, I wish I was still in it? Or for you, was it like, yep, right move, happy the whole way?
Yeah, I pretty much... like the way everything, the transition took place. As I got into to a larger market like Detroit, I just naturally started getting bigger clients. You know, the big three motor companies were there at that time and did a lot of stuff for Ford. So that was kind of nice and picked up more radio stations because I was at a bigger station and more people heard me.
Of all the different things that can gain you new business, maybe you can give us a couple of tips or a couple of, I mean, you mentioned having a big radio station leads to more. Are there any things you did in your career that you look back and go, wow, you know, that was a smart move. That helped my business expand greatly because of doing X, Y, or Z. Anything like that you can bring up?
For me, it was just giving the best product I could when I worked at the radio stations. For instance, we did our own localized promo for the Monster Jam, and because of that, they heard my spot and said, hey, we want this guy as our main guy, and we like his spot better than the guy we're using or as good. So that, you know, just trying to put that extra effort into it, make them sound like national spots, was kind of my goal when I was working at radio stations, because you never know when the big client may hear it and say, hey, we want you to do some Ford spots or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. That's something I think anyone who wants this kind of a career and they're at the local level, they always dream like, well, the guy in New York City is going to hear me and make me the national voice of whatever local, you know, so it happens. David Lee says it happens.
But now with auditions, that's a whole different story because it's kind of a different. They do things differently now. I mean, they'll listen to 100 voices or some crazy thing, you know. So it's very hard these days, you know, to be on 100% because you got guys you got to compete against, and they are unbelievable now. So it's a different game. I mean, guys could get into it 15 years ago, and they could succeed at it. But now I think it's really tough. You know, thank God I made a little bit of a market when I did, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I don't want to hammer the point, but you definitely have a very unique sound. Do you think that you might still be maybe more successful than others because of your voice? Or have you seen in the market, you know, because oftentimes it's said that, you know, what your voice sounds like doesn't actually really matter. You know, you have to have the skill set. You have to be able to break down copy and put it out there the way the client wants. So, you know, how much does your voice do for you, and how much does everything else, how important is everything else?
What I found is that I think everything else is more important because the style that I'm known for is really not in vogue anymore. So, you know, they want a guy off the street type of sound, but yet you got to be professional. So it's kind of an oxymoron, but, it's tougher for the older guy, the old guard, but the new sound, I think you just got to be able to read copy in a conversational way and sound real. That seems to be the most important thing.
Of all the work that you do, obviously you've brought up imaging a number of times, and people are going to know you from you know, the sports networks and then obviously motorsports, but can you break down kind of, you know, are you 90% imaging? You know, where are the lines in how much work you do and what types of work are you doing?
I would say about one third imaging, one third motorsports commercials, and then one third everything else, all the other type of commercials.
Okay. I will say I'm actually surprised by that. And I don't know if anybody listening is surprised by that, but talk about the one third everything else. What does that incorporate?
Just various, you know what, it probably is a little less of that. It's, you know, the imaging is probably a little bit higher, you know, maybe like 35% motorsports,
sure.
That sort of thing. But it's just various things, you know. I'll do a little bit of promo work here and there. I got something for Major League Baseball, upcoming, things of that nature. As well as just a lot of one-offs and concert spots, you name it. Just a mixed bag of different things.
Yeah. I got a couple parts to this next question. How much of your work do you book through agents at this stage of the game, and how much are you still booking on your own?
I'd say most of it is just clients that I've had for many years. So it's mostly through my own. I get a few things here and there through agents.
But someone like you, I guess, is probably not actually relying on agent work that much.
No, the thing with agent work that I found is that there's, you know, so many great guys out there nowadays. So the competition's tough, you know, and when you got a full plate of other things, it's tough to find time to read all those auditions that come through, you know, but that's really the only way you're going to get it. So I try to knock out as many of them as I can.
Is there any work that you wish you could be doing on the voiceover side of the business that either you aren't or can't or just don't?
Well, I think I'm a little surprised that I haven't gotten into the movie trailer thing yet. You know, I've tried a few auditions for that, but I really haven't done a lot of that. So I think that would be a good fit for me. But you know, I'm still trying to make my mark in that, and it's extremely, extremely competitive. So they like to go with the guys that they've heard and the tried and true, I think, a lot of times. But hopefully, there's a place for new guys like me.
Yeah. Any jobs that stand out? You know, again, people know you from certain things, but anything you've done that stands out? You know, maybe a one-off thing, and you were like, "Wow, that was a lot of fun." You know, that was really interesting. Something that we don't know you've done, but that really stands in your memory.
Actually, just last week, I did a spot where I had to simulate an elk call. And it was just a screaming sound. If you Google what an elk sounds like, I had no idea that's what they sound like. Where I'm talking, it was for like the Arizona Natural Resources or something like that. But it was just an audition. Sure. But I mean, I was like, dang, this makes the day a little fun, you know? Crazy stuff like that. You know, I'm literally screaming at the top of my lungs. That's different.
Do you save those for the end of the day?
So I try to. And I motorsports ads are definitely ads that you want to leave for the end, because sometimes you don't have any gas in the tank if you're reading, you know, 20 different monster truck spots, you know, where you look, you know, those are screaming old school Sunday, Sunday, Sunday type ads, you know. You got to save those for the end. You're not going to be able to knock out a jewelry spot after doing about 15 of those.
Do you find it, I mean, you've been doing it so long now, you're obviously a pro, but do you still find it difficult to switch gears, as it were? You know, going from the at a 10 motorsport read, then, I mean, so you have to go down to a jewelry store read. I mean, do you still find that difficult?
Yes, I do.
Anything you do to cope? Any tricks you have to get yourself back into the right headspace to do a completely, to do a 180?
Not really. I mean, you just got to kind of, sometimes you got to step away from it and take a walk or something, get yourself a cup of coffee and then come back, rather than just bang, bang from one thing to the other, because then it's too hard to make the transition. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I got a couple more kind of my main topics. I know that your day is always busy, and I do really appreciate you joining me here. Everybody's going to be excited to hear that I did an interview with you. And speaking of that, what is your day like? Are you up, you know, bright and early and going? And then are you going, you know, how many hours of each day are you going for? Do you have time outs? You know, what kind of a scenario is it like for you on a day-to-day basis?
Every day is different. In the wintertime, I'll get up pretty early because I've got a ton of motorsports ads that I also mix. I still do the production on some of those. So a lot of time, times the stuff that I had voiced the day before, I'll have to mix those and post those up on the website. And then some days in the summertime when I'm not doing as much motorsports, it's pretty relaxing. I can go take a two-hour lunch break if I want, sit outside and kick back and just wait for the scripts to come in. You know, some days you wish you had a crystal ball so you could tell, you know, nothing's coming in today. Go take the day off. But nowadays, there's another big thing that's different. We used to FedEx everything, you know, on reel-to-reel tapes. Sure. So everything had to be, you know, you had to plan ahead. And now it's like, hey, can you get it to me in 10 minutes? And it's just insane now, the turnaround time. So you always got to be here. You're chained to your equipment. You know what I'm saying? That's the one thing I don't like about nowadays, you know. But so yeah, you really can't plan ahead because you don't know when these scripts are coming in, and especially the auditions. Like, hey, can you turn around within a half hour? It's just like, man, it's amazing. The turnaround requests are just crazy nowadays.
Are you finding that you're having to adapt to that, or are you still in, you know, some kind of massive demand where if you want to tell them, eh, no, you'll wait 24 hours and be happy? Or are people willing to say, all right, then we're not going to hire you?
Well, you really can't. Because of the competition, you got to do it quick. If it's an audition and you got other stuff that you got to get out for your clients, that takes precedence. You know what I mean? Sorry, you're not going to get your audition. Yeah. But if it's your own clients, that's the way the game is played now. So you got to do it that way.
Have you ever had a time, I got two more things after this, but I'm just curious, have you ever had a time where you thought, you know, as a voice talent to excel or to come to another level that you'd considered moving to a New York or an LA? Or did that never cross your mind, or you never found it to be a necessity?
It did cross my mind, but... I don't think the talent has to go into the studio with the producers as much anymore, you know, with ISD and hookups. So I think you can pretty much do it from anywhere. As long as you got a good setup, you can do it. But it is important in some regards. I'm not really an insider with the big guns. So I'm not sure exactly how important it is where they want you to go to the studio and see them face to face. But I think even in New York and L.A., most of the guys have their own studios and they're able to do it via ISDN. So I don't think that's really a big problem anymore, but I could be wrong. I'm not sure.
Well, at least not to you. You haven't found a need to say, all right, let's uproot and go to New York.
I think maybe 20 years ago that it would have been more appropriate to do something like that, but I don't think it's as necessary nowadays. But like I said, I don't know. I'm not, you know, one of the big movie trailer guys that, you know, is making an amazing killing.
Sure.
But I do, you know, I got enough here to keep me busy.
Yeah. You brought it up. Gear. I like to ask everybody about gear now, whether they are into it or not. Would you consider yourself a big gear head? Audiophile?
Not really. I want a good sound. I like a punchy sound, you know. I'm a sucker for that, being in radio, you know. I like something big and fat.
Absolutely. What do you use to get that sound, to get your sound? Like, for example, what mic are you talking on now, or what's your favorite mic to use?
Well, you know, I got a Sennheiser and
the 416, the shotgun.
No, I got the other one. I got the cheap one.
Okay, cool.
The 421?
I'm not positive. I'll look it up.
It's the one they use it for drums a lot. But yeah, I've always had good, it seems to cut through pretty well, so I never change. But that would be the one I would probably switch to because I love Sennheiser. For imaging, I think that's the way to go.
Yeah, the trend definitely went to the 416, and you know, that's pretty much, everybody's either got one everybody's got one and they use it every day or they use it almost every day. You know, that's just what you hear now.
Right.
What's in your chain? Or do you have some sort of Avalon, or do you have something you put, you know, some outboard gear you're putting yourself through, or are you working in plugins inside the box?
I got an old Pacific Recorders module for EQ and compression. That's all I use.
So everything that you color your sound with is done with that one module outboard?
Yes.
Excellent.
Well, I for motorsports, I can tweak it a little bit.
Yeah.
For voiceovers, yeah, that's all I use.
Yeah, yeah, great. What kind of software do you like to use? Are you a PC guy, a Mac guy? Are you on Pro Tools or some other DAW?
Well, I've got Adobe Audition. I don't have Pro Tools.
Yeah, no.
I've got an old Orban Odyssey, which I love. I keep it running.
Oh, do you still use that regularly?
For spots, sometimes I do, yes. For VO work, it's usually the computer.
Yeah, that's great. David Lee, DavidLeeProductions.com. I have one final question, but if they want to reach out to you on Twitter, it's David Lee Imaging, @DavidLeeImaging. The final question I like to ask this of everyone, and I think it'll have a lot of meaning coming from you, and it's also possible you've already answered it in some way, but one, if you had to sift through all of your career and come up with one key piece of advice for the young up-and-comer, you know, what can they do to be successful in the world of voiceover?
I would say just listen to the big guns, what they do, how they approach it. Imitate every TV commercial and radio commercial you hear of the good, you know, for TV, you know, anything on network TV, all the, try to imitate all the different styles, and, you know, you can transcribe copy if you want and just practice like crazy until you get that sound that you, that everybody wants, you know. It's tough to get it.
Yeah, absolutely. Great advice. And I know you said it early on, work hard and work hard to get the best sound you can get, which echoes what you just said. But I think people will have a lot of great takeaways from our chat today, David. I very much appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
Hey, Ryan, thanks for reaching out to me. I really appreciate that.
Absolutely. And again, DavidLeeProductions.com. We'll talk to you soon, David.
Thank you.
As I mentioned, I would jump back on here in the outro just to say thank you, David. One more time, I will tell you, DavidLeeProductions.com, at David Lee Imaging on Twitter. And I believe he's a new Twitter. So you can go check him out there. I am at Ardreen on Twitter if you'd like to say hi to me or say something horrible to me. That's it. I get both of it. And then RyanOnTheRadio.com, producerspodcast.com takes you just directly to the podcast stuff. But I've made the podcast pretty front and center on the front of my website. And if you have any feedback, I am always happy to take it. I might not always be happy to read it, but I love getting it. You can email me if you like the Gmail. It's RyanDreen@gmail.com or the contact on my website, or don't Facebook message me. I forget about those. And if it's anything important, it'll never be replied to. So other than that, reminder, Tom Cross, Adam Burgess with Contraband Media and Imaging Blueprint will be coming up next. And then after that, the one and only voice over artist extraordinaire, Mitch Faulkner. You can go look up all those guys if you'd like to right now. Until then, bye.
Contact the show, contribute your opinions, see additional content, or simply stay connected at producerspodcast.com.